still I rise. There was this great poet who we lost last year called Dr. Maya Angelou. This was a celebrated poem that she wrote. She says, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Do you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my hauntiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shout, you may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but like the air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the hunts of history, shame, I rise. Up from the past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear in the tide, leaving behind the nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wonderfully clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, a dream and a hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, and I rise." Most gracious God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to share a word with your people. Use your daughter as you see fit. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I remember the very first time I heard that poem, and it touched me because it was around the same time that I was sitting in class, and I can recall it was a Black History Month, and the "I Have a Dream" speech was the very first time I recall that it, like, you know, when you hear it and it changes your life. You know, you hear it when you're young and you're in school, but there's a moment that you hear it and it resonates in your soul. And I'll never forget the moment that I knew I had to have a dream. I had to go up beyond what anybody thought of me, anyone was concerned about, and I had to rise. So when I thought about what we as a community needed, what we as a church needed to hear, I thought about even us as a people, and this being Martin Luther King's weekend, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. I hate when people leave out the Reverend because I think that's very important. I thought I need to talk about how are we going to rise as a people with all that's going on. How are we going to rise above our circumstances? And the text that was read earlier, there's some things that really stood out about this man. Number one, this man, he was a beggar. This man, we know from birth, he was lame. He could not walk. We also know that this man had somebody carry him every single day to this gate called Beautiful. Amen? So I thought it was interesting. He had someone to bring him every day to the entrance of the gate. And let me tell you about the beautiful gate. It was a temple. It was the temple. It was the entrance of the temple. And it was so spectacular. It was one of the best projects that they had worked on. I think it was about 40 years. It was a 40-year expansion in making this temple spectacular. So people would come there, and he knew the time of day that people would be there. So just think about this. What if we had someone that came here every Sunday at the 7:45, 7:30 service, and then the 10:45 service, and they stood there and they asked for money. How many of you guys would bless them? You start to question and wonder. Amen. A few of us, I do believe, would say, you know what, I'm going to be a blessing to this gentleman. But it also talks about, the text also tells us, though, that the moment he encountered Peter and John, things changed for him. Things changed drastically for him. I thought, though, that with this man, he was very strategic in how and intentional about how he was going to get his hustle on, because that's what he was doing. He was getting his hustle on. Amen? So there's what we call, I think, a time where, you know, you don't always have a job, but it's the in-between things. You have the in and odd jobs you may go. And I remember when I was growing up, I would go with my godmother, and we would go what we call down the line. Down the line meant we were doing domesticated work. We were cleaning houses. And I would go with her to do that, and I would, you know, get a little money in my pocket, and then we would, my siblings and I, we would collect bottles. Y'all remember when we used to collect bottles and get paid for it? I remember the little bottles were like 10 cents, and the big ones were 25 cents. So we got our hustle on, collecting bottles. And then we moved and we elevated to collecting cans. How many of y'all used to do that, collect cans and bottles? I know, I don't have any shame, because I was about getting my hustle on. And I remember that I heard somewhere that there's a rapper that says, hustle, hustle hard, closed mouths don't get fed on the boulevard. So what is he saying? In order for us to eat, we got to get our hustle on. So some of us act like, you know, well, I ain't have to do all of that. And that's good. Praise God. But some of us like to have a little change in our pocket. And we, especially growing up when you're teenagers, amen? And when we felt that it's important that I do this thing the right way. So there's different types of hustles here. But I like that this man here, he had a circumstance that he was lame. So I had foot surgery. Everybody know I had foot surgery, and I got this boot on. I got stitches in my feet, and they could put some implants in there. So there are limited things that I can do. I have limited ability. However, I can still move. And I thought about the time that when I, you know, after you first get the surgery, that first step you take, oh, it's painful. But after that, things kind of, you know, get a little bit better. And I look at this man here, and I said, in spite, you have to admire this, in spite of his circumstances, he still got up every day, and he went to the gate. How many of us get up in spite of our circumstances? Every single day, we get up. I think the interesting thing about this, though, is that even though he was getting up, and he was coming to the entrance of the temple, yet he didn't come into the temple. Yet the people that were bringing him, maybe they were coming to, we can assume, maybe they were coming to the temple, but they didn't invite him in. Okay? There's an opportunity here. But yet, he had expectations. But I think the thing that's interesting here is that his expectations, Pastor, they were a little low. Because expectations sometimes says, you know what? I'm okay if I just make it through high school. And we tell our children, which I think is very sad, I just want to see them finish high school. Instead of saying, my expectations for you, Diamond, is that you will complete college and you will go on to graduate school and you will be the best that you can be. We have to expect better for our children. We have to stop setting low, low. The bar is so low for us. Just get a job and just stay out of trouble. Whatever happened to be all that you can be? Whatever happened to a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen? Yet, expectations, expectations, expectations also leads to what I call dysfunction. Dysfunction is when we do the same thing over and over again and we get the same results. And that means sometimes we have dysfunctions. Everybody always say, I got a dysfunctional family. We all have dysfunctional families. Is that right? Am I right? We all have dysfunctional families. Everybody got a dysfunctional families. But I think there's other areas in our lives of dysfunction that we need to think about, and we need to think about and consider the dysfunction of our spending habits. We are a community that spend billions of dollars We are the number one consumer. They know exactly how to market to us. They know we're going to pay our cable bill. They know we're going to pay our Sprint bill, our cell bill. Amen? They know those are the things we're going to do. Our children don't have college funds set up, but we got cable. Something's wrong here. Dysfunction. Dysfunction. Our credit is messed up, but I'm going to get that Louis Vuitton bag. Our credit is at 340 when the high, I believe, is 800 or 900, and you're at a 340 still, and you're still buying things, and you don't ask for help. Dysfunction. There's dysfunction, and something that really bothered me during the Ferguson protest. I thought it was awesome that the young folks went out. But something that bothered me is, how do you tell the district attorney, we're going to put you out when you don't go and vote? That's dysfunctional. We're going to sign a petition now, and we're going to all get together, and we're going to put this guy out. However, we didn't get off our behinds and go vote. There's something wrong with this picture. We complain about the man and what the man is doing. And I'm still trying to figure out who the man is. I think some of you know. But yet, what are we doing to help ourselves? I often think about relationships. And it's a sad thing when you see people stay in dysfunctional relationships. And I'm talking about abusive relationship. I'm not talking about I just don't like the way she changed her hair or I don't like the way he snores. I'm talking about abusive relationships, emotionally, physically, and mentally. We get torn down, and yet we stay in dysfunctional relationships. And I'm not just talking about spouse, man, woman. I'm talking about any relationship. If there's a girlfriend and she's not lifting you up, at least his friends carried him to the temple. At least his friends brought him somewhere, and then they had to take him back. We stay in relationships when all they do is tell you, you're not going to do it, Simone. You'll never graduate. You know, you're not going to make it. And yet, we keep those people around. That's dysfunction. So I kept thinking about this man and maybe, you know, what presented itself that he decided to get up. He made eye connection, but when he made eye connection, the first thing he thought of was, can I have some money? Can I have some money, Deacon? I need some money. However, Peter and John said, no, it was Peter, rather, who said, I got something else. Silver and gold I don't have for you. But I got this something else for you. And he told him to stand up. He told him to rise. He told him to rise up. And he grabbed his right hand. I thought that was awesome that he was helping him also get up. I went to see with some of the young adults, we went to see the movie, Selma. The first weekend it came out that Friday. And every time I watched the movie, and I had seen it at that point, that was my second time, I'm always amazed. If you look at this movie, and this is why it's so good, they do something different. There's a couple things that they do different that I like, that they point out that we normally don't talk about. I thought they portrayed Dr. King, Reverend Dr. King, in a way that he was very human. We saw him having conversations with his wife on things that bothered her. And I'm not going to give everything away for those who haven't seen the movies, but Minister Donna, we also saw a relationship of a husband and a wife not necessarily agreeing after she had a conversation with Malcolm X. You've never seen that portrayed before in a movie, where you actually seen, and it did take place, that there was a conversation. But Malcolm X was very smart, and the whole movement, that's what really struck me. It was so strategic. And, I mean, their planning was incredible. But in the movie, Malcolm X has a conversation, and he says, I know they don't like me, so I'm going to send them to your husband, so y'all, because I'm not the guy they're looking for, but I'm going to make sure that they go your way. And there was a conversation they had when he was in the cell, and I thought that was incredible because you never seen that portrayed before in a film. And in the film, there was many, many characters who got up and they rose to the occasion. Of course, we know the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and I like the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And with all my young adults, and thank you so much. Didn't they do an awesome job? Didn't they do an awesome job? I thank you so much. It was those young students there who really got things started. They got the movement started. So when they came there, they just kind of all got together and started, you know, working together. But there was this character that Oprah Winfrey played. Her name was Annie Lee Cooper. And Miss Annie Lee Cooper is a real character. And she went to go vote. She had gone several times. And every time she went, there was a problem. You know, I want you to name all the judges, all 67 of the judges. But Annie Lee Cooper never stopped going. She kept rising to the occasion. And I like that even when, because there became a confrontation between her and Mr. Clark, who was the sheriff, and she hit him in defense. Because I read, you know, I read something else, but she was defending herself. But what the clip you saw from Brown Chapel, that took place the night that she got hit. And I thought it was interesting when he was telling them to continue to stand up, to continue to stand up. How many of us are willing to stand up in spite of adversity? Ask your neighbor, what are you going to stand up for? Talk to your neighbor and ask him, what are you going to stand up for? I need y'all to wake up with me. I only need a few more minutes. A few more minutes. Tell your neighbor to wake up. What are you going to stand up for? I'm not going to let y'all fall asleep on me. Let me tell you what they did. There was three times. There was three times. And the more amens I get, the faster I'm going to sit down. There were three times that they marched. The first time they marched, they were on the sidewalk. There was a few of them marching on the sidewalk. The second time they marched, they realized because it was very, they had beaten, Dr. King had went to another event, and when they marched, he wasn't with them at that event. But John Lewis, who is now Congressman John Lewis, he was, and several others. And they got, you know, beat. I think that was called Bloody Sunday. Am I correct, Pastor? And what was interesting is that second time they marched, they were very, very intentional about making sure the media got there. The media was there. So they knew if the media's here, they're going to cover this. So now all of a sudden, up north, you got white folks seeing how black people are getting beat. Literally, men and women and children. And you guys have seen the film. And if you haven't, you need to. All you have to do is go to YouTube. But I thought it was interesting because the second time when they went with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, he stood at the front and he said, "It's not time." And he turned back. And he turned back. Sometimes we go and it's not time yet. And we get frustrated because we don't always know when. And we say, you know what? I've been doing this for a minute. So I can only imagine with the man that was lame how he kept coming back. And so he accepted his situation. He said, "This is as good as it's going to get." And many of us today have said, "This is as good as it's going to get." But I would say to you, it was the third time. And maybe that has something to do with the Trinity. I don't know. But it was on that third time that when they marched, it was thousands that had marched. And this was a 50-mile march. This wasn't a small march. And what I like about it is that they all joined hands. They were all together, and you saw blacks, you saw whites, you saw everyone out there. Everyone was supporting this movement because they knew how important it was to be able to vote. It was like you remember the song called "Ain't Gonna Stopping Us Now"? We're on the move. So I like that. They wouldn't stop. They kept pressing. They kept moving, and they rose to the occasion. And I say this to you today. There's an author named Steve Backley. He wrote this book called The Champion. There's a champion in all of us. And he said this. He said, there are three types of people. Are you listening? There are three types of people. The first person is the person that makes things happen. You have people that make things happen. And then there's the person, secondly, the person, there are people who will watch things happen. Many people sat watching this man every single day and never invited him into the temple. How many of us are inviting people to church? How many times we pass people every single day at work, at school, and we've never invited anybody to church? I thank God for my young adults that invited people out this morning. And I thank God for those that came a long ways from Morristown, my classmate and her daughter, Aja. I thank God for those who continue to invite people out to hear the word of God. And then lastly, they said that the third person, they're the people who ask, what happened? Amazing. What happened? So I say again, ask your neighbor, what type of person are you going to be? What type of person are you going to be? Are you going to rise to the occasion? Are you going to sit on the sidelines? Are you going to sit back and say, what happened? I think it's time for us to make some decisions like the lame man. And I remember when I had to make a hard decision. It was hard for me because when you leave corporate America, it's not easy because things do change financially. But I remember the day God called me to go to seminary and completing in December, and I had a 3.67, Pastor. I didn't quite get a 4.0. But I thank God that I answered the call. When they asked the lame man to get up, he got up. He got up. Some of us need to get up. We have to stop doing what we've been doing because it's not working. And think about this. This was the other interesting point, is that when they spoke to him, he gave them his attention. He gave his attention to them. So now he's here. He can hear them. Many times people talk to us in church. We come here, we do the same thing over and over again. And if somebody says something to you that you don't like, the first thing you do is get an attitude. Is it possible? Is it possible that God is using that person? I'm not talking about, little things. Like, you know, some people may complain about there's no toilet paper in the bathroom or no soap. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when someone says to you, think about this. There are jobs out here. May not be the job you want, but there is a job out here. And you're unemployed. And they tell you, this job is available. And you sit there. And you get an attitude. Who do they think I am? I'm too good to work at McDonald's. But you're unemployed. Dysfunctional, y'all. Dysfunctional. Say it. Dysfunctional. I'll end by saying this. There was this... I'm a boxing fan, so I'm going to ask Minister Holly to come here. Yeah, I told you I was going to get you. Y'all know I'm a boxing fan, right? So there was this fight. This is Frazier Ali won. I'm not going to knock him out, I promise. Is this mic working? Is this working? Can I get this mic? It's on? No. Here, I'll let you turn it on. So there was a fight. I'm sure y'all remember this. I know y'all going to be with me on this. I got the deacons behind me. All right, y'all remember Frazier Ali won. All right? What happened in the 15th round? They were fighting. They were fighting. And let me back it up a little bit. So this is what took place. Ali had been out for a minute because he decided, I'm not going to fight in the Vietnam War and kill what he called those Vietnamese. Yeah, that's what he called them. He said, I'm not going to do that. So they took his license so he couldn't fight. So therefore, if you're inactive for a while, Reverend Hilton, you don't have the same skills as if Joe Frazier's, he's fighting and knocking everybody out. He's knocking folks out left and right. So he now is the world champion. He is the boxing champion, the heavyweight champion. There's a difference. The heavyweight champion. So they fighting. It's the 15th round. And he's Joe Frazier. So give me your best shot with your left. So he knocks me out. All right. I'm laid out. Muhammad Ali is on the ground. Thank you, Minister. I'm out. And I would lay down if I could. I can't get back up. But what I'm saying is that he knocked him out, and then what happened? He immediately got up. Immediately got up. And what happened is when he got interviewed, they said, "What happened?" Deacon Collins. "What happened?" Muhammad Ali said, "Champions don't stay down. Champions don't stay down." So I ask you once again, ask your neighbor, what are you going to do to rise to the occasion? If you've been doing the same thing, getting the same results, we know that's insanity. What are you going to do? Here, listen to what I'm saying. Are you going to continue to come to church and just sit on the pew and leave out? Are you at least going to get in the game and start coming to Bible study? Come on. Amen, somebody. Listen to what I'm saying. Are you going to continue to come to church, but I'm going to do whatever I want to do? I'm going to continue to smoke. I'm going to continue to drink. And you know what type of drinking I'm talking. I'm going to play the lottery because I just don't believe God. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to come to church and not pay your tithes? Are you going to rise? There's a difference. People, hear me. We continue to do the same thing, getting the same results, and yet we expect something to be different. This man gives us a great example of what it is to at least get up. He got up and he got moving. I got a, you know, you see the foot. I got a boot on my foot, but I've been here and I've been hopping along. I see mothers come in here with canes. They hopping along. I don't care how you move. Just get moving. Get moving. Stop being still. Staying still. Talking about, it's bad out today. Yes, it is. And I don't want anybody to get any accidents. But, I thank God for you who are here with me today. I thank God for you. I thank God that in his name, because that's the key thing. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise. In the name of Jesus, rise. It's time for us to rise, saints. It's time for us to rise. Elder, I need you now. It's time for us to rise. In the name of Jesus, we have to rise to move the mountains. We have to rise in the name of Jesus to get back in the game. We have to rise in the name of Jesus to be healed from sickness and disease. Don't complain about it if you don't have the faith to believe. Hallelujah. We have to rise in the name of Jesus to change policies and create new laws for our community and our people. We have to rise in the name of Jesus to let go of bad relationships that we know are no good for us. We have to rise in the name of Jesus to break every chain. We sing about it, but we need to rise to break every chain. We need to rise, young folks, in the name of Jesus, to be all that God has called us to be. We need to rise up. We need to rise up and trust that God can do it. He is able. We need to rise up, sisters and brothers, today. We need to rise and know that God is faithful. And he said that he would never leave us or forsake us. I thank God that I rose to the occasion. I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God that I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I thank God that I rose in the name of Jesus. I thank God that Pastor rose in the name of Jesus. He has pastored here for 30 years. That's not easy. I thank God for Deacon Collins, over 50 years of service. He rose to the occasion. He rose to the occasion. Some of us need to get up and rise today. Rise. Get on your feet and rise and give God some praise. They said at the end that he went into the temple. He went into the temple and he praised. He was jumping and praising and shouting and rejoicing. We come in here, Dr. Presley, and we come the same and we leave the same. We don't get excited about anything. When the last time you rose to your feet and got excited about what God was doing? He may not have done everything, but he's done something for you to rise and give him some praise. Give him some praise right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We rise. We rise up above our circumstances. We ask God to break every chain. Every chain. Every chain in our lives. He is able. He is able.